This summer we are reading stories from the sagas of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the patriarchs of the Old Testament. So our sermon series continues now in Genesis chapter 21. Listen for God's holy word. The child grew, Abraham and Sarah's child, Isaac. Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, Ishmael, the Egyptian whom she had born to Abraham, playing with her son, Isaac. So Sarah said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son, Isaac." Now this matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a great nation out of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of this child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called out to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift him up. Lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went, filled the skin with water, and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert in the bow, with the bow. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. From 1983 until 1994, for 11 years, there was a personality on PBS, the public broadcast station, named Bob Ross, who had a television show called The Joy of Painting. Now, this was exactly the time when I was growing up with public broadcast, with PBS. And I loved Bob Ross's television show, The Joy of Painting. Does anyone know who I'm talking about when I say Bob Ross? Okay, many of you, good. On the show, Bob would paint and give instructions to those who were watching the show so that they too could create simple but beautiful oil paintings that he was painting using his color palette, his easel, and his jar of oil paint brushes. Traditional oil painting, I am told, is very time-consuming, and it's no simple endeavor. But Bob chose quick and simple styles and techniques. In a matter of a 30-minute episode, viewers such as myself, home from school and laying flat on my chest watching TV in the family room, viewers like me were mesmerized by the landscapes, the trees, the mountains, the clouds, and the rivers that quickly took shape through Bob's expert painting. The show was all about education, and Ross wanted to encourage others to realize that they too could paint landscapes, that it wasn't too difficult. He wanted people to learn, and he wanted people to share what he knew of the joy of painting. Bob Ross was a very gentle person. He had a soft voice, and he just, everything about him exuded encouragement. You can do this. You can do this. Everything that he did was expressing this message of you can do it, give it a try. His most famous line, which he said over and over again in probably ever in every episode. Does anyone know what I'm going to say? Bob Ross's most famous line. His most famous line was that there are no mistakes, just happy accidents. There are no mistakes, just happy accidents. If your brush doesn't do exactly what you were hoping for, don't sweat it, Bob Ross would say. If the stroke doesn't turn out perfect, don't throw the whole painting away. Roll with the mistakes. Let it become part of the painting. It isn't a problem. It's just an unexpected turn in the road. Follow the road and see where it leads you. See what adventure awaits. The phrase, there are no mistakes, just happy accidents, is a wonderful lesson for oil painting. But when it comes to our lives lived before our God, the lives that we live in community, in relationship with one another, out in the world amongst God's creation, our mistakes are in fact real. They are real. And sometimes they can have really terrible consequences. Abraham and Sarah made significant mistakes in their lives of faith. When we learn about Abraham and Sarah in Sunday school, they're put before us as these beacons of faithfulness. But when we get down to reading their stories here and then elsewhere in the book of Genesis, we see that they too made real mistakes. God had promised that Abraham and Sarah would have their own son, that Sarah, old as she was and beyond the age of childbearing, that she would have a son. God even told Abraham and Sarah that the son's name would be Isaac. But Abraham and Sarah made a mistake. They couldn't trust and believe this amazing promise that God had given them. So they tried to find their own way. They tried to take God's promise and to fulfill it using what resources they had at their own disposal. They took God's promise and they disregarded the details in order for a plan that was more in their own power. Sarah gave Abraham her maidservant, Hagar. And in an act that was totally in line with their culture and their time, Abraham produced a son through Hagar instead of through his wife, Sarah. Hagar became pregnant, and she bore a son, Abraham's firstborn son. According to their culture, the heir of Abraham's family line, Ishmael, was born. Ishmael was born. But he was not part of God's plan. Ishmael was not the promised son that God had promised to Abraham and Sarah when God had made God's promises to this elderly couple. They couldn't trust in God's promise. And they made a mistake. A mistake that did more than become just a happy accident. They made a mistake with real consequences. This mistake, this son Ishmael, caused great trouble. It caused great trouble for Abraham and Sarah. For as Ishmael and Isaac grew up together, Sarah became concerned that her son would lose out in the inheritance to Isaac. And so Sarah had to deal with the anxiety and the fear of this mistake that they had made. And this mistake made real trouble for Abraham, for he felt the tension in his own family. And his wife came to him and said, "Put this slave woman out of our house. Send her and her son away." And so Abraham had to deal with the consequences of this very real mistake. And so too, obviously, did Hagar and Ishmael, for now they lived in great fear. A woman who bore a son not of her own choice, but out of command from her owners, now faced being sent out into the wilderness for no action of her own. And Ishmael, an innocent child, facing the dangers of the wilderness. God, too, faced great trouble because of this mistake, because of this action by Sarah and Abraham. God had had a plan. God had been planning to do an amazing thing through Abraham and Sarah, and God's plan was clearly laid out in God's mind and in God's promises. He would take this older couple, and he would do a miraculous thing through them. They would bear a son, Isaac, and Isaac, he would have a family, and he would have children, and this family would grow and grow, and God would continue to bless this family, and blessings would flow from this family to the families of the earth. God's plan was clear and beautiful and great. And now, looking down as God did, he saw strife and conflict and complications that God would have preferred to do without. Well, so it is too in our lives lived before God, in our lives of faith. Bob Ross's statement that there are no mistakes but happy accidents is true of oil painting, but it is not true of the lives that we live. We know as experienced people of faith that we do make mistakes. They are mistakes that cause troubles in our own lives, like Abraham and Sarah, who were the ones who made the mistake. It was they who experienced the trouble. So too do we experience the trouble that is our own making. And we see, too, how our mistakes cause trouble in the lives of the people who are closest to us and the people in whose lives we play a part. We say things which cause pain. We take actions which are self-serving and cause trouble for others. We know, reflecting back on our lives, we know some of the hurt and the pain and the trouble that we have caused not only ourselves, but the people whom God have put in our lives. And so too it is that Abraham and Sarah's mistake caused trouble for God. So too it is for us that the mistakes that we make have real consequences for God as well. That they cause God sorrow. They cause God to become frustrated and angry, perhaps even, that we are not able to be more faithful, that we are not able to trust more in God's promises and in God's commands. Abraham and Sarah truly did make a mistake. A mistake which had significant consequences. But their God and our God is a God of amazing grace and boundless love. The story is an amazing story in that we see God is able to roll with the consequences of our mistakes, roll with the consequences of Abraham and Sarah's mistakes. The simplest solution for God would have been to look at the complication that Abraham and Sarah's mistake had made and to say, "These people cannot be my people. Look how full of mistakes they are." And God could have moved on and said, "I will find someone who can be faithful to be my servants." God also could have been complicit in Abraham and Sarah's plan and to just push aside Ishmael and Hagar and allow them to die in the wilderness and to pretend like it didn't matter and that it never happened. But that is not God's way. God shows God's amazing grace and God's boundless love in God's ability to enter into our lives full of mistakes as they are and to bless the consequences even of those mistake-ridden lives that we live and Abraham and Sarah lived as well. God goes with Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness. God meets them there and God fulfills God's promise even to them. God claims Ishmael as a child of God's promise. A child that God had not asked for, a child that God had not planned for, a child that God had not even wanted. God claims Ishmael as an heir of God's promises, and God blesses him and his mother and makes a great nation from them as well. So too it is in our lives. It is true that our mistakes have real consequences. It is true that we cause ourselves trouble and we cause trouble for people and places in our world. But our God is still a God of amazing grace and boundless love. Our God is a God who is able to meet us in our mistakes, to meet us and to join us in our lives full of the consequences therein, and to bless and to bring goodness and blessing even from our lives, even from the mistakes that we make. As a kid, I loved watching Bob Ross paint. And of course, Bob Ross is totally wrong. He's totally wrong. Anyone who has tried their hand at painting knows that mistakes are real and they do exist, and mistakes have consequences. Bob's message, however, is a good message. In painting, when you make a mistake, it is best to not allow that mistake to ruin the current painting that you're working on, and also not to ruin your desire to be an artist, to produce things that are beautiful. Bob Ross is right about painting, that it is best to keep small mistakes in perspective and to use the resources at hand to turn those mistakes into happy accidents. In painting, this works out fine. But the mistakes in our lives are at times more significant and more beyond our control to correct. At times in our lives, the mistakes are beyond our ability to reclaim or recover. And so what it means to be people of faith, people who rely upon God, is to be those who put ourselves before our merciful, forgiving, loving God, honest with God about the trouble that we have caused for ourselves and for our world, and to pray and to trust that God will meet us even in our mistakes, and that God will continue to make us a blessing to God's world. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.